Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. It is time to get into some more challenge content here on the Dom and Colin podcast. Challenge 38, episode 5 or 6, or who knows. I always lose track, and that's how I do things around here. But that's okay, because my regular co-host is back with me today, so I'm excited about that. Of course, I am Matt alongside Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Oh, hello, hello. I'm glad to be back. Jealous that you guys had such a fun podcast last week, which what I thought was a pretty decent episode, only to return to this one. But I'm glad to be back to discuss the challenge, Ride or Dies.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're gone for a week, you got to catch us up about your thoughts about what you missed. So last week was pretty crazy with everything Tommy and Annalise related and their decision coming back to haunt them and them going out in a pretty horrific elimination for the two of them, the tears on the way out. What did you make of all of it?
So for me, I don't even think like it was, there was a lot of talk of like, are people like this indignant about like one lie? Like they all do the lie. I don't think that anyone was like actually that mad at Tommy and Annalise about the lie. I think it is a very good example to set to all of the rest of the rookies of like, you see what happens when you lie to us, expose your entire game. Otherwise this will happen to you too. So, unfortunately for them, I just wasn't that surprised. I feel like they were never going to be the strongest physical competitors. And even though they are like pretty good social players and like even, you know, I would say Tommy, a good strategist, I just don't know that you can overcome the bonds that these people have on this show anyway, especially given how many vets we're going to bring in, you know, throughout the season. Mm-hmm. So I think that they needed to play a very specific type of game, and that was just never really going to work out for them this early.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, the comments that people made about them, oh, they have so much heart, like all this, like that's absolutely true. And I do appreciate somebody that brings that to a show like this. You know, whether it's somebody who's been on the show or not, you know, before, like Raven was, bringing a lot of that, of just like showing that they really wanted to be there. So I always do appreciate that. And I feel like it, you know, gives you enough of a push when it comes to picking out, you know, the returning rookies for the next season. This current era being a little bit different because, again, they bring back so few rookies from season to season. But I do feel like, you know, I think I said this last week that the two of them are probably in somewhat consideration for going forward. I know that Sis had been in consideration like a season or two prior, like made it very close. Tommy has been, you know, kind of on the hook for a while since his season ended. So I don't know. Do you think that we'll see him again?
I think it's possible. I don't know that it should be. I feel like obviously they have certain casting spots on any season of the challenge. And I just think like, why are we bringing back Tommy when Corey Lay is available, who is like actually very competitive and also entertaining and has the heart and everything else? So, you know, and not that there should only be one gay person on a season, but, you know.
Well, we deep down know that that's the reality. So,
yep. So, yeah, obviously I feel like, I don't think they're the most likely. I don't think that they are huge fan favorites. They didn't make it super deep. They're not, you know, uber competitive. So I think that there are better picks out there. But if they were to show up, I wouldn't be absolutely floored, just surprised.
Yeah. And I neglected to ask you, how was DC?
Oh, DC was great. Very fun. Had a great time. Obviously missed the podcast, but I'm dare to say it was worth it.
It's more fun things than just being on a podcast. Sometimes you have to miss it for a Lady Gaga concert, or you know, you take life first and podcasting second.
That is true.
So, glad to hear it. Glad everybody had such a fun time. Definitely wasn't jealous at all. And that's that. So yeah, this is in fact episode 5 here, as we are getting back into things in the house post Tommy and Annalise's almost said eviction. super in Big Brother mode for these two since their exit last week, and we don't really waste a whole lot of time completely shifting the narrative into telling us. I mean, did you pick up on this or feel the same way that like it felt like we were just kind of starting from scratch with a whole brand new story? Like, what were the stories through the first 4 episodes that like would have even been able to be moved on here? It felt like a complete reset.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that we get like maybe the Michelle and Nani stuff later on. But as far as setting up this episode and like even, you know, halfway through, there's basically no mention of anything that's happened already this season.
Mm-hmm. like the rookie alliance, I guess, that like Amber was leading or whatever, you know, all of that was about. It's just, you know, Johnny and Raven are gone. So that alliance with Jay and all that stuff has kind of fallen apart. So we really just, I mean, I'm not saying they did something wrong. It's just, they kind of had to reset and kind of show where people are. And there's a lot of people, I want to, maybe you have it somewhere in your phone as our resident Reddit guy, the confessional account, because I can definitely tell you that a lot of people that, are on the show or have not been on the show have been very invisible. Most notably, I feel like I haven't heard from Casey or Kenny since they got back into the game. I feel like we haven't heard anything Casey or Nani related in a while, like, you know, bouncing off of that. Bananas was quiet up until this week. So I don't know. It's been the Olivia and Horacio show for a couple weeks now. And I don't know, it's, you know, now it's the Michelle and Jay show. I'm fine with that, despite the fact that people are being mean to them. So I don't know, just long way to say that, the story is continuing to change.
Yeah. Casey and Kenny, a grand total of 8 confessionals between the two of them, equaling Mariah's numbers by herself. So mm-hmm. I think that goes to say a lot. And if you want to say Olivia and Horacio are the stars of the season, I think the confessional count of a combined 66 confessionals is definitely nothing to sneeze at. I mean, for them to be so far ahead of many of these vets is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. I would 100% say that they have been the stars of the season. Like, who, what other team here is, like, you know, the headliner here? Bananas and Nani, just by virtue of being Bananas and Nani. Michelle and Jay have been very active in a lot of these episodes. And then, you know, that's probably top three: Bananas and Nani, Michelle and Jay, and then Olivia and Horacio. So I don't know. That's where we're at.
I think we got probably, it actually looks like it is Nelson and Nerisse and Tori and Devin, surprisingly. I mean, Bananas and Nani are at a combined 38 confessionals, so barely even touching Olivia's 35 on her own.
Well, there's that. I feel like they just made such a big deal about Banani, you know, when they entered.
For sure, and they also missed an episode.
Yes. But let's get into it from the top here. We're going to start right off with a big pool party that Laurel seems to have. This seems to be like Laurel's first ever party since she's been done with vet school. So she's very excited that they're having this big fun time here. And I don't know, there's a lot going on at this pool party. What caught your eye?
Also, look, like, Laurel, I get it. It was COVID. I'm glad that you were not partying all the way through it, which I don't know if I believe, but for her to be like, oh my God, I have been cooped up at veterinary school and this pool party is exactly what I need. Right. Like, okay. Sure. It seemed fine. Like, that pool is there always. But more so for me, I think I'm gonna probably jump right to the meat of this scene. That was almost brushed over, but Mariah saying that Bananas is not usually her type, but his personality is just so great that she's still finding him very attractive this season.
Now, that's not something that we can deny, that Bananas has a good personality.
But is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's like, you know, there are so many things about him that are unlikable, but his personality is something that I feel like it's hard for me to find any fault in, as far as, like, he is definitely a fun person that you hang around. Like everybody likes him and loves him so much over every single challenge he's ever on. Like, you know, even his biggest enemy in challenges is, like, his best friend Wes, you know? So, I don't know.
Isn't it your Twitter header photo that is the famous Trixie Mattel that being like, yeah, like, but Johnny Bananas came out to me and said, I'm Johnny Bananas. Like, he is not always the most charming person in the room, and I think that often he comes off as extremely, like, pompous and unlikable. So it is interesting to see that he is at least turning the charm on for at least one rookie, but I don't know that every single person on this cast would agree that he is just completely without fault, like, so standable, amazing personality.
No. I just think, like, at his best socially, he's probably a lot of fun, like, to be around. I'm not, you know, out here trying to book a flight to go hang out with the guy, but I can understand why Mariah would say that. There was on his podcast a week or two ago, he had been talking about how he came into this season. It was the one that he did with Jordan. Mm-hmm. He came into the season single, and he was basically saying that he had, like, found some kind of, you know, connection out there, but we hadn't seen it yet. So I was like, okay, he's talking about this, but I don't know who it is. And I'm looking the cast up and down, and I'm like, who could it possibly be? Like, the only person that would have fit the bill would have been Mariah. I mean, maybe Michelle, but I feel like that didn't make any sense to me, and Michelle had been getting the scenes with Fessel. So I don't know. I was like, it must be Mariah, and finally here we're seeing it. So I don't know if this is going to turn into more, or if it's just casual, like the Laurel and Horacio thing. It's just like not much is happening there, but it's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, even if stuff is happening there, we're not guaranteed to see it based on Banana's many hookups on the show not being aired. But also the hookups of many people, even on this season, apparently not making the final edit.
True. And if anybody wants to see Bananas hooking up, I can send you a link.
Oh, no. You don't want to.
It's out there.
Trust me.
So that's happening there. And we're going to check in with Darrell and Veronica, who are not having as much fun during the pool party of it all. They're a little bit more worried about their position in the game. You missed their entrance last week, as they are now here and very much on the bottom last week and this week.
Yeah, I think it's so sad because, like, it's being chalked up to, like, oh, they just entered the game so late, as opposed to Jordan and Anissa, who entered 1 week earlier. But, okay, sure. Yeah, that's the reason that Veronica and Darrell are out of it, and not because you, like, stopped casting them for, 10 seasons in a row. What may feel like it, given how long these seasons go. So, I don't know. I think it's probably an easy way to explain why they don't really have that many allies coming into the season. But I don't blame them for feeling like on the outs here.
Yeah. And it's also like, I mean, so like, you know, what Veronica's going to say a bunch throughout the episode is that, you know, Anissa, somebody she's been close to and known for years, like, you know, two decades plus, the two of them, you know, go back. But Anissa's been on every season lately with all of like the people, Nani and Casey and Devin and Tori and I don't know, Bananas has even, you know, been in and out. Veronica hasn't been on in since Final Reckoning, right? I believe.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so it's been a little while, and Anissa's been, you know, playing the game and playing real life with all of these other people, and so is everybody else. So, you know, it's like, you know, she knows Bananas very well, but what loyalty does he have to her? And the same goes for Darrell. Like, you can look around and see people that Darrell's like played with before, but it's, you know, pretty sad when you look around and see that Amber is like the closest person that would probably want to protect him out of all of these people. You know, there's a lot of veteran names, or maybe not a lot, but like there's enough veteran names in there that you would think like, oh, Darrell's here, like he's a number, but it seems more so like, okay, well, you know, we'll, you know, suck up to him if he wins a challenge and we need to go vet strong, but otherwise he's pretty much at the bottom of the vet group.
Mm-hmm. And I think that given the structure of the season, a lot of people are writing them off in terms of dailies. I don't think that's completely unfair given the two that we've seen them in so far. So it's a tough position to be in where, like, obviously you don't want to be the rookie of the season. But if you're too far on the other end of that spectrum, too, you start to basically get the same treatment.
Right. Some more on those two later. Let's get to the emo party, because the pool party wasn't enough. You got to have the emo party. And the highlight of all of this is not I Write Sins, Not Tragedies playing in the background. I mean, that was for me. But as far as the episode is concerned, Jay and Jack are forming a new little group here. It was called Chinese Takeout, I believe. And they wrote a song together.
Yeah, Jay and Jack have apparently gotten extremely close. Jack does not let his guard down around people, but Jay's one of the first people he's let in some time. So a fun little scene of them that obviously feels like foreshadowing for something later in the episode.
So there's one thing that I guess I'm going to go all in on the banana standing this episode, which is I know. There's something about a man with a guitar that I have a hard time not enjoying, I guess. So
enjoying. Okay.
So, sure. Seeing that he plays the guitar, I was like, damn, I did not need to know that about him to want to, I don't know. It just does something. But
wow, the guitar and the personality.
So, hopefully, you know, next week gets me back on course.
Okay.
In terms of Bananas, stand up. Do you remember when we started doing this? I was like, a stan. Like, I was a banana stan.
Yeah, I do remember.
But it's like hard not to be when you're like a new challenge fan, and like that's it's like, you know, the Boston Rob. It's like you know, you start off like, you know, jumping right into like the person that they show you, like, oh, this is the person you should love. And then, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's the lens that the show is edited through for how many seasons, and especially when you're basically given no alternative and you don't know everything surrounding the show, then I feel like it's pretty easy to be. The only other thing that did stand out to me is Do you believe that Durrell doesn't really know what a
Yeah,
quote
what the
an
hell was
emo
that?
is?
It's like, what are you saying, old man? Like, it's
Like,
not like I know he wasn't like in high school during like the big like Hot Topic Warped Tour era, but that doesn't, I don't know. I was surprised to hear him say that.
yeah, I don't know if I believe it, but otherwise, I feel like gave me some good screenshots of these people in their emo clothes.
Yes.
I honestly wish that we could
You
have gotten a few more scenes out of this.
sent Colin the screenshot before the episode. Wait, was it before the episode aired or?
No, it was the episode had aired, but it was like right after Survivor.
Okay, not before the episode aired, before I watched it because I passed out like on the dot at 9 p.m. last night. But yeah, so that's what's going on there. They're singing their song, Jay and Jack, and highlighting their friendship, which is obviously going to be a big point in this episode because Jay and Jack are getting close, but Michelle and Laurel are not really on a good page. Michelle goes to Amber talking about how she's just very paranoid about Laurel, and she feels like if Laurel wins anything, she's going to be probably getting her uniform ready to go in. So again, all of this is really just setting up from the top what is going to happen in this episode and where we're going and all that stuff. So I don't know. I enjoyed the Michelle and Amber scene. I feel like it was two CBS personalities I would have never put in the same room or expected in the same room and conversation, and it was a dynamic I did not dislike.
Oh, I'm ready to stan. Yeah, definitely excited about this. I did find it funny though, because I feel like Amber's probably got the word paranoid thrown on her at certain point during her challenge career. So for her to then throw that edit over to Michelle, I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, she's like, it's so cute. I'm like, you're, yeah, okay.
Like, where were you last season? It feels like that was your role.
I mean, yeah, Michelle is so cute. That's literally, half of her charm. And then her amazing personality and social game and all that other stuff is just a bonus along the
Oh,
way.
if only she played the guitar.
Oh my goodness. I would, yes. I don't know what team I'm on, if that's a reality. So what else? Anything else happening here? The emo party looked fun. I mean, I've definitely, like, this isn't the first emo party that has been thrown in our lifetime. I just wish that I had a chance to attend them because I've got a studded belt hidden deep within my house. And
Ooh.
I tried. I went for it as much as I could have at the time. It didn't, but that's fine.
Yeah, my music taste did not align with my clothing taste, so
See, neither did mine, but I was a poser.
yeah, it did not fully form for me there, but I don't know, it was fun. I also we get flagged up that Michelle starts to think that Laurel is coming for her at this point, which the episode leads you to believe is very unfounded, but I don't know if that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, the vibes just seem off. And what was I gonna say? I wasn't done with the emo thing. I feel like my lane was always like the pop emo kind of thing. So
Okay.
obviously like Panic and like I don't know, like is like a Fall Out Boy, like all of that. That's like
Falls in there.
Paramore. Yeah, like in that, like it's close there. But it's not like what the people who are like looking for like emo music or like they're like, oh, that's Child's Play. So that's that. It looked like a fun party. But anything else before we get to the challenge?
I'm good for the challenge.
All right. Well, it's time to talk about the royalty of every single challenger out there, the royalty of TJ Lavin in his very, very nice outfit he was sporting for this challenge, because we are sponsored in this episode by the one, the only, the top chain in this country, around the world, the one and only Burger King.
Oh, Burger King, right? I feel like it's kind of iconic on the challenge now. Always seems to be a reoccurring sponsor. I was surprised that we didn't get a Burger King for a year prize, but otherwise, very iconic with the Burger King sponsorship at this point.
They failed on us here because we have the two winners here of the last Burger King for Life, Amber and Darrell, and there was no follow-up. Like, so Amber and Darrell, like, how are you enjoying your Burger King that you won a few seasons ago for life? Like, oh, I love it. I go all the time. I always bring Chauncey. Darrell, I always bring the kids. We're always going to Burger King. It's so good. Love it. They're right there. But whatever.
But no, the challenge flopped on something. I'm surprised.
I know. But this challenge is called Royal Relay, where we are going to see them split up into two heats, which has been pretty standard for past couple of challenges. They are putting together a crown in Burger King fashion, and it's a rowing challenge where, again, everybody's split up into two heats. First team to put their crown together wins, and the fastest team to get it done between the two heats will win, and they get a $5,000 prize per person. Did you like this challenge?
It's fine. I think that it was like fun to mix it up and do a water challenge. I feel like rowing is not something that we've had featured a lot on the challenge lately. So I like it in that aspect where we get to actually show off different strengths and mix up who might be winning these.
Yeah.
But it was like fine. I think the decision actually to have two heats is probably optimal because otherwise I feel like one team just gets out ahead and then they're never losing. So it becomes pretty difficult to edit in that way. But I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was perfectly fine. It, you know, it didn't like last the entire episode, which is obviously always appreciated. The second heat, which didn't have the actual winner, I feel like went a little bit faster than the first one, where mm-hmm. we of course had to watch Jay and Michelle, and I say had to watch, where we were watching, you know, their journey on their way to the win. I really enjoyed the Nelson and Nani confessional beforehand because they really. Do you know what I'm about to say? Like, they really had me on the hook thinking that they were going to say, we went on a date years ago to Burger King.
Nelson and Nerys.
Yes, sorry.
I was like, I didn't remember their joint confessional, but I'm... so, no, I...
Sorry.
In fact,
I wrote Nani and I meant Nerys. Too many end names. But they went on a rowing date years ago. I really thought they were going to say, hey, we went on a Burger King date.
I would have believed it. But yeah, no, I thought it was fun. The interesting stuff in here. I thought Jordan, like, you see him actively figuring out how he's going to row with essentially one hand. Incredibly impressive that he then manages to, like, almost keep up and still come in, what, second place on that heat?
Yep.
Yes.
They did pretty well.
He comes in, like, with so many things that he is already figured out and is already really good at, but even still, when there's something that he hasn't really mastered, he is still, like, really good at figuring out, like, okay, how am I going to adapt to doing this? And I think that's what makes him even more impressive.
100%. He, you know, he gets praise from Anissa during the challenge, being like, he never complains, he never this, he never that. And, you know, as much as it's not fun to praise Jordan, you at a certain point have to, you know, from what he brings to the challenge and what he brings to the challenges themselves. He's good at everything, and it's annoying, but he is. So yeah, he and Anissa do very well in this. We see Jay and Michelle obviously do very well in this, in the sense that they win. But what did you make of the sentiment that Bananas was saying? Well, these two are from Survivor, so they're obviously going to do well. Like, I mean, fair enough that, like, Survivors do get into these boats, like, on their season, you know, a couple different times, but, like, do they all, like, you know, is this like a skill that everybody comes off Survivor and they know how to do this?
I have watched an episode or two of Survivor, and I would say definitely not. I've seen many of people struggle to swim very much on their time on Survivor.
I just thought it was very funny the way he was like, well, we're nervous because these two might win because they're survivors. It's like, okay, sure. Or maybe we should be nervous of you, Bananas, and your partner, Nani, who have done this type of challenge on multiple seasons of a challenge before and should have done better than the way that you ultimately did, not being able to figure out how to row, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently these boats were pretty weird. It wasn't like a very normal row, but still was surprised to see so many people struggle on it.
Yeah. It seemed like the kind of thing that, like, once you got in the groove and got, you know, got the rhythm down of what you needed to do, it was easy enough, but not everybody was able to do that.
Yeah. I think the sentiment that I was the most surprised at, and maybe you feel differently, but Tori saying that Devin is truly a challenge champ. I was like, do we need to look up the meaning of truly? Because I don't know if that is factual.
Yeah, I kind of glossed over the second heat in my note taking, but I do remember her saying that. And okay, like,
sure.
I generally think people need to win in order for that to be part of your title. There are some winners out here. Amber is right over there in the other heat, getting disqualified. So, you know, some people are champions and they're really good at everything. You know,
But you could even say, like, Devin is truly a champ. Like, he is impressive. He is whatever you want to say. But, like, maybe just don't lie. Sure.
But they do, ultimately win the second heat, and it's going to come down to the two of these teams as the, one of them is going to win the challenge. Did you have a preference? I mean, I imagine. Oh, let me take that question back. You had a preference. Michelle is an option.
It was like best case and worst case scenario.
So I can't even let you answer that because I don't know why I asked it. But Jay and Michelle win.
Yes, and I was extremely excited. I feel like this is the exact team that you want to see wield power. Obviously, they are not a full like rookie team, but as they said on the episode, they are as close as you can get to it when you're looking around here. Like maybe Amber and Chauncey have like less combined experience, but I feel like in the way that they're looked at, they are like at the bottom of the totem pole. So I think that it was always going to be interesting because you think that like, all right, here it comes. Here comes that big move from Jay and Michelle we've been building to.
Yeah, Michelle and Jack's egg salad daddy. Are the winners. But as far as the two of them go with Jay and Michelle, it's like what I was thinking about while watching all of this and especially last week too, is that, you know, the way that the veteran status works in the game, obviously it takes you a long way. You know, someone like a Nisa or Bananas or even, you know, people that have been around for even half as long but are still considered in that vet pool, like a Jordan or a Tori at this point. Like, they have, you know, the built-in, like, okay, this is our territory and you guys are here earning your place in it. Michelle and Jay, it's like, okay, Jay has, you know, been around. He's beaten CT in an elimination. He's been, you know, this is his third season. He should be able to have a little bit of, you know, something there to be like, okay, you know, in the same, I mean, Casey in her first season, let alone her second and third season, had already built up enough of, you know, an appreciation and people were like respecting her. And, you know, she proved herself in a big way because she's so good at all these challenges. But I don't know, it's so like person dependent and it's so clicky, obviously, where it's like, well, if the group accepts you, then they accept you. If they don't accept you because you're Jay and you've been on three seasons with Johnny Bananas or who just doesn't like you, then that's just the reality of your situation. You know, we'll get more into it of the thoughts behind Jay and Michelle's decisions and how people were perceiving them and all that stuff. But, you know, I feel like the perception that Jay and Michelle had of themselves was obviously spot on. Like, nobody had any kind of love towards them. No, you know, they had enough of a love where it was like, okay, well, we know you. You're a known quantity compared to all of these other rookie teams. We know that you're not like, you know, super shifty or whatever, you're Survivor, so maybe you're a little sneaky or whatever, but like people have love towards Michelle. The girls especially seem to like her a lot. And then Jay is just, you know, a cool guy, like good enough to keep around. So very much that team, just like Veronica and Darrell seem to be right now, of like, you're not with us, but we don't need to get rid of you right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't tell that to many of the vets, because they will swear up and down that we are so close and I can't believe that you would ever think anything otherwise. So we'll talk more about that, but a lot of very questionable statements coming out of a lot of people's mouths here.
I am with you and I can't wait to get to it, but Burger King first needs to feed everybody. So they feed everybody in the game, big feast back at the house. Bananas was actually praising the feast, and maybe he gets paid for that on the podcast, but he said it was good.
All right. Well, that's fine.
That is Burger King. I cannot tell you last time I had it. It's just going to be a couple more years until they're gone, or am I being too
much? Wow. Really calling for the head of Burger King.
Maybe just in New York. They're really nowhere around. Not nowhere around. I'm sure somebody could pull up a map and, you know, show me all the different Burger Kings, but like, I never noticed them.
A few years feels very imminent, but we'll see, I guess.
I don't know. There's my hot take or bold take of the episode.
I think it is bold.
Your years are numbered. Sorry to the king. So we get into the picking, not the deliberation just yet, or no, whatever it's called. Jay and Michelle have to pick four teams.
Mm-hmm. And I would say the only thing that's really interesting here, we get a couple names mentioned, but Michelle is doing some work to protect Nani and Bananas here.
Yes. So are we getting right into it?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, basically, they start throwing out a lot of names, and I think there will be time to discuss the others during the interrogation. But the one that I think that a lot of people had their eye on was Nani and Bananas, who had previously thrown them into an elimination. And yet, they don't have the favor returned. They want to make a new alliance and hopefully get a quote unquote IOU out of Nani and Bananas. So, an interesting strategy for sure.
I can't help but look. I mean, the reason that this kind of game is so good, and the season, not season, this show is so good at times like this, is because the complex nature of these decision making, decisions that need to be made, is so interesting. Because I've gone so back and forth with this in the less than 12 hours or so since I've watched the episode. It is obviously, an expected move that, you need to put in four teams. Why would you piss off, four teams when you can piss off three teams? Because one team is going to fully expect that they're going in because they threw you in. Of course you should throw them in. And what's the worst case scenario of you throwing them in? They go home? Like, oh boy, Johnny Bananas and Nani go home? Like, God forbid. So of course it would make sense to put them in with an opportunity for them to go home. But and I will almost use Fessel's tweets as, kind of the guy who's, known for his strategy here. He was on Twitter defending Michelle and this decision that they had made, basically saying, which is kind of, pretty much what I was feeling as well, of like, it makes a lot of sense for a team that could be, very much consistently winning as time goes on, Nani aside, or not even to underestimate Nani, but like Bananas, who could win a daily challenge at any given moment, to have that person, be assured that you are on their side, showing it through your actions, saying, I am not even putting you into consideration to be going home here because I want to build that back up with you. So, we'll get into the four teams that they do pick, but as far as that goes, it's like you could, it's almost to me, just the way that I'm like laying it all out in my head, it's like an equal path. It's like you could go with this move where you take out this team that is a strong threat to you in the end because you probably can't beat them in the end. Or maybe you can, I don't know, but it's unlikely versus this path where you just get them on your side in a way that it's like, when, how else is Jay supposed to show Johnny Bananas that he's willing to work with him? They've not had any history working together. Bananas has thrown Jay, in or voted for Jay over and over and over again. This is like one last attempt, as Jay and Michelle said on the podcast they went on this week, of saying, like, we are trying.
The thing is, it felt so completely obvious to me. Oh, Jay and Michelle win, so Bananas and Nani will go in. Okay, let's look through Devin and Tori, Anissa and Jordan, and I don't know, let's throw Casey and Kenny in there, like, or Laurel and Jack. Like, any of those, like, five feel like pretty obvious. They're all working very closely together. It's who I would expect would have their backs, like, with internally the most. But then Michelle and Jay do talk a lot about, whether you want to look at the podcast or even just like things that we do know a good amount, at least from the episode. So Michelle and Jay talk about how they actually have like a decent understanding with the other CBS alumni, in terms of not being thrown in. They actually had talks with Tori and Devin because Devin plays that strategy game all day long, where like they made a deal and many of these people in that four did not. So I can see the logic. I think ultimately it falls apart for me still. I just kind of feel like at this point, like, why win almost? If this is the move that we're going to be making. But I can see like why they're trying to avoid the other teams more once they explain it.
Yeah, there's so many things to break down with the decisions that they made here. I think the ultimate decision that I think ruins this whole week for them is making Kim and Colleen one of the choices, because you put them at a 1 in 4 chance of going home, and here we are where they go home, and that is doing nothing to help your game. I mean, we talked about with Tommy and Annalise, oh, well, let Kim and Colleen go because, in the position that you're in, like, they're not doing anything for you. But this is a position where they could have easily left those two in the house and not in consideration to go home, and made sure that a vet team goes home that is ahead of you in the pecking order. Replace Kim and Colleen with, I don't know, who the exact right team is, because I don't know their relationship with, say, Fessel and Mariah or Nelson, and Nerys, and, whoever else, you want to replace them with. But if you want to make that kind of move and make sure that Laurel and or not even make sure that Laurel goes home, but like you probably, you know, she's not feeling great about Anissa and Jordan, Laurel and hopefully, you know, Anissa and Jordan going, you know, against each other. There's just different ways that this could have gone. I think the key piece here was Kim and Colleen should not have been in one of the names.
Mm-hmm. It just feels like a half measure. Like when Laurel and Jack go in, just who are you hoping to take them out at this point? Like there are other strong teams in there for sure, but I feel like you, like Kim and Colleen are fine. They're good. I do have a little question about the elimination later when we get there, but I'm not relying on them as like a lock it up. Laurel and Jack are going home. By any means.
Right. No, of course. You know, the teams that were put in there, if it was Anissa and Jordan that went in, then potentially, you know, we see, you know, a higher likelihood of Laurel going home from all that. But all the, you know, the other options, it's Laurel's probably staying. So I don't exactly, you know, add that in as well. And there's definitely a lot of questions about the decisions that Michelle and Jay were making. But I don't know. I'm having such a hard time, you know, processing this week in comparison to like decisions that, like, you know, going through like the Tommy and Annalisa of it all. Like, did they make the right decision or not? And part of it is because, as I was saying to you, I think before we just got on, like, there's so many decisions being made in this season between the power team and then the people that are in the draw, and having to put four different teams into consideration. Like Anissa being pissed off at Jay and Michelle throughout this entire episode, and then also like even on the podcast this week, continued to hold a bit of resentment towards the both of them. It's like, well, they have to say four names. Well, I never would have said your name. Yes, you would have. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
So that's what's so weird to me, is like the indignance of the vets.
Oh my God.
It's just like, okay, then let's go over every single person. Obviously, you're not going to do that, and you're going to be like, well, I don't want to do that for future seasons, whatever. But it's just so obvious that those, like, four or five teams were never going to say each other, and Michelle and Jay, like, fall probably even lower than a couple other teams if you want to throw in, like, Bessie or whoever in that power structure. I feel like even Veronica and Darrell come above Michelle and Jay for Anissa, so, and Jordan. So it's just like, both of these things can't be true. I know Laurel and Anissa kept being especially like, well, you're assuming things based off of relationships rather than looking at alliances or bothering to ask me. But then when they're like, okay, well, we made a deal with Bananas and Nani, and we were hoping that that works out. And Anissa's like, well, when they're relationships, it's like, okay, you can't have it both ways. You're telling them to assume that because Banani have relationships in the house that they shouldn't be trusted, but you're saying that your relationships, oh no, those, don't worry about those, I can be trusted.
Right. I think the more I've sat on it today, it's like, I really don't think that Jay and Michelle made the right call. I don't know that they would say that they made the right call with a couple of the different decisions that they made. I feel like the way that, you know, they picked the four teams was like over the course of the first, you know, couple of rounds, they were probably thinking to themselves and saying out loud, like, well, who should we, you know, who should we throw in? Who is, you know, who are teams that were comfortable saying their name? Anissa and Jordan, yes, obviously, like they were locked in on that one because they've been wronged by both of them in the past. Kim and Colleen, nobody really cares about them. That's an easy name that we can throw in. Michelle obviously hadn't been feeling great about Laurel, so that was one that they kind of had on their radar. But as Veronica kind of points out when they go in to have the, you know, conversation, she's like, I can't really see who you're trying to break up here. Like, what is your intention here? What are you going to get out of any of these matchups to like advance your game? And, you know, I was having a hard time disagreeing with her on that.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was too much focus on who's not going in instead of who is. Just like, I couldn't imagine a world in which you are throwing in Anissa and Jordan, but not throwing in Tori and Devin. Right. They've made it obvious, whether on this season or through seasons past or the podcast or whatever the case may be, their ride or dies are each other, despite who they're partnered up with. And like, a shot at one is a shot at the other. I just don't see a world in which Tori and Devin win a challenge, you know, especially in a week or two down the line, and don't have Jay and Michelle in that bottom four.
I mean, yeah, 100%. So that's kind of where it's like, okay, well, a lot of these vet teams would probably have Jay and Michelle in that four. So, you know, again, why does Kim and Colleen end up in there? I'm really not sure. Kim and Colleen would not have put, you know, Michelle and Jay in there, but they also are very unlikely to win a challenge because they haven't been, you know, looking like, you know, like a top three team even at this point during them.
They did fine this week, I would say, but in general, it's not they've been good, not stellar.
Yeah. So when the names go up there, you know, again, a lot of shocked reactions. Anissa's pissed off. Olivia's shocked and, you know, giving a confessional saying that they dropped the ball on this. Obviously, a lot of shock about Banani not being the names up there. And yeah, so when we get to the conversations, I already talked about, you know, Veronica saying, well, this doesn't make any sense. Like, as Anissa is going to say as well, like, like not to be like, you know, throwing Nani under the bus, but like, why would they not be up there? To which I say, because Nani fixed that and played the game with this specific person that's now in power to make amends there and build that relationship back up. So, you know, I don't know if she's like, you know, just pissed off at Michelle because it seems like the obvious thing to do. If she's pissed off with Nani because Nani got away with it. But it's like, and this is what I was tweeting about, like, Anissa, like, you had a shortcoming here where you there's a person that came into power. I'm not saying that like she's playing a terrible game. Like everybody, you know, knows she plays a good social game, but like she happened to have this one relationship that wasn't strong enough. This person came into power and picked you as one of the four names to go in. She's not targeting you. She's not saying, well, I want you two to go in. She might if you keep pressing her this much. but you know, it's like just chill. Just say, you know, I'm disappointed that you know, I maybe say like, oh, I don't really get, you know, and then I don't know. It's just the way that she was going about all of this and saying all of this about like, well, why isn't it Nani? It's like there's different ways to make sure that you're not the one in. And I don't know. I wish that she watched it all back and like felt like she was being a little extra here, but she was really just like standing up for her decisions and her thought process through all of it. And I was like, oh, this isn't my favorite Anissa.
I just feel like when you're on TV and in a, like, I feel like Anissa was the underdog for a really long time, and now has not been for a very long time. Even if she is not coming in as the favorite to win the show, she is very much like involved in running of the house. So I think that it's easy to let that let you, like, you know, lose some of your humbleness after a little while, especially once you're picked to, you know, be the official challenge podcast and everything of the sort. I think that you become a little self-important, maybe. And I think that has been playing out. I think that it, whether it is to, like, look good for future seasons in like talking to Jay and Michelle, like, well, obviously, like, I love you guys so much and I'm always going to work with you even on next season, and now I love you again and we're all fine, like, or if it is just like truly just like completely lost in the sauce, cannot figure it out, like, you are so high on your own supply. But it does feel like that with how a lot of these vets talk. I mean, I said that I even tried the like Bananas podcast when Nani was on, and it was like unbearable. So yeah, like, in how self-congratulatory it was. So I just, the vets for me personally, too high on themselves.
But look at the past couple of seasons, like, how could they not be, you know, when the game is allowing them to be in the, not even just the game, but the casting is allowing them to be in this position where it's like, you know, the high school seniors versus the freshmen. It's not, you know, it's the high school super seniors versus the freshmen. It's not, there's no, you know, there's sophomores, but they're freshmen. There's juniors, but they've been adopted by the freshmen, juniors that have been adopted by the super seniors. And you know, it's just, it's very separated. And of course the super seniors are going to have this, you know, feeling of superior, you know, being superior, to everybody else. But, when you're playing this game where the freshmen can come into power at any given notice, and the sophomores who you're lumping in with the freshmen are, you know, going to win this week's challenge and potentially throw you in because you don't pay enough attention to them. That's whatever. Okay. I don't need to keep ranting about this. That's just, you know, it was frustrating. And especially when it's happening to one of my faves, I am more fired up about it, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just why when it started to look like rookies versus vets, I was getting nervous, because I do think there is just such a sense of entitlement in a lot of the vets these days that I think was there in the past. I don't know if it was just like, oh, I was younger and not paying attention to it, which probably was the case. But it is particularly unbearable these days, I feel like.
Yeah, and just to get into the because we're going to get a lot of the Laurel and Jack of it all. But Michelle, after the deliberation, does go talk to Bananas. And it seems like Bananas and Nani do feel like they have this IOU towards them, which Michelle was obviously specifically looking for. So, I mean, they got what they wanted. I guess time will only tell, you know, how much they truly got what they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, we do get the Bananas confessional where he's like, I'm just going to tell them whatever I have to keep them happy right now. So that didn't feel promising for moving forward. And I think that Nani has a little bit shown that she's not necessarily going to be the head strategist here at all times. So I don't know if it fully will stick. It definitely seemed to have a lot more of an impact than I thought it might have, yeah. You know, when they started talking about it. But I'm interested to see how this moves forward between the four of them.
Like, I mean, if you're looking at a situation where Bananas and Nani are one of the four teams and they, you know, come back in the house because they either win the elimination or they just don't go in at all, and then they win next week, they're putting Jay and Michelle right back in, and then Jay and Michelle are right back in danger. You know, it's a journey. It's a long road to get to the final. And if I feel like in the next, like, at the very least, like the next two rounds, if Bananas and Nani win, or at least like, if they're both still in the game, Bananas and Nani and Jay and Michelle, the next time that Bananas and Nani win power, I feel like they will hold on to this IOU, unless it's like, you know, we're down to like the final seven teams or something like that. And it's like,
well, okay, honestly, I'm looking at next week even, and I can go, okay, like Olivia and Horacio, easy. They're going in. I would say probably Amber and Chauncey going in. Maybe Veronica and Darrell, question mark. Like, probably, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
And then who? Are we throwing, like, Fessel? Are we throwing Nelson? Because that's what we're down to. When Jay said that the numbers are dwindling, I kind of scoffed. It's like, there's 700 people in this house still. What are you talking about? Like, you only really sent home two teams since three teams were added after the, you know, first week. But I don't know. I do think that when you're throwing in four, I don't know if it's always going to be four. I think that losing the draw there would be a little disappointing. But four just seems like so many. As soon as next week, that I don't know how they keep this promise that far down the line.
And they probably feel like they're going to go down from four to like three or two sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also that, you know, I doubt we're going to be at like, you know, final 10 teams or whatever, still saying four names, but who knows?
Yeah. I think the season structure has to change at some point, right?
It will, you know, for sure. Yeah. And then to wrap up the Michelle and Anissa of it all, you know, they have a conversation later. I don't know if that, you know, did anything for you, but it was more so about Veronica, like finding a way to continue talking about Anissa because Anissa plays this, you know, very active social game.
Yeah. Look at Veronica. I think that early on, we kind of, even they have described it as themselves, like, oh, it's so fun to have someone to sit around here and drink wine and, I don't know, like, talk shit with. And I feel like Anissa and Veronica would do a great job at doing that. But as Anissa even said, like, with Michelle and Jay, like, she didn't come in here. She doesn't do the calls before the seasons. And I don't know if that is, you know, the best idea for the challenge. I think that it happens on basically every returning reality show where the calls go around and says like, well, I don't make any promises besides to Tori. It's like, okay, well then you didn't make me any promises. And so for Anissa, I think that she kind of had a wake up call with Michelle and Jay throwing her in these four and Veronica really being unsure of where she stands.
Yeah. Yeah, Veronica's, you know, gonna, obviously, we're gonna see later on that Veronica and Darrell do have a decision to make in this episode, so they, of course, give us a little bit of story to set up, you know, what that is and why, you know, it may not be as clear of a cut of an answer as we expect, but, you know, that's, I don't know what else, what I would expect from Veronica and Nelson when they're at this exact position. Nelson, Darrell.
I was like, what?
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page and their names are next to each other.
Yes, that is true. I've almost done that.
and that's not what I did before, right? No, Nani was, Nani is next to Bananas, which is throwing me off even more. maybe I just need some sleep, which is definitely true as well. But yeah. Whatever. So that's the Veronica of it all. We'll get into more of that later. But I do want to get into the Laurel and Jack of it all, because when they come to sit down and have their not so conversation with Jay and Michelle, I mean, at this point, like, I think Michelle. I need sleep. Michelle, well, I guess Michelle is fine, but Michelle, I think, is handling herself just fine throughout the conversations that she's having. She's, you know, definitely very nervous and anxious, like talking to all of these people. Everybody comes in mad at you, and you have to kind of hold your spot and hold your own and say, you know, this is what it is. I don't want you to be in danger. I don't want this. I don't want that. I had to do this, all this kind of stuff. But she just basically, you know, tries the very basic excuse of, you know, well, we haven't talked a lot of game. And it's, you know, as much as like people see through it, like a Jordan or Anissa, you know, it works enough for like the Kim and Colleens. But then Laurel and Jack are going to come in. And I'm sure that there was more to this than just, you know, them coming, sitting down and saying nothing. I'm sure there was like a word or two exchanged, but maybe not, because the two of them are not saying a word. And they're just having this very well-edited stare-off.
Yeah, easy to believe that not a lot of game was talked when, even in the interrogation, they are just staring at them without a single answer. So, very interesting strategy. I thought it was funny, but I just don't see how, like, this was going to work for them. I know that Laurel's whole thing is like, well, you already threw us in. Like, why bother talking now? And it's like, yeah, but, like, not all the way in.
Right. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
And you know, Michelle just kind of dives into like, well, I feel like the vibes are off. I feel like you don't want to work with me and all this stuff. And Laurel in confessional is saying, you know, you're the one that's insecure. Why are you coming at me for no reason instead of just coming to ask me? And this is where I get into frustration with Laurel in the same way that I just was with Anissa. Just because you aren't close with this person who's now in power doesn't mean that they owed you anything beforehand. Like, if this was if the tables were flipped and Michelle's intuition is right that you are not feeling the vibes with them, and you would have thrown them in, like, what would you have said to them? Well, I feel like we're not really connecting on a game level, and this is what, you know, this is just is what it is. So, like, 100%, I think that they probably would have thrown Michelle and Jay in if this is, you know, how they've been feeling towards each other in the house. So Laurel being like, oh, well, you could have come to me first. It's like, no. Like, she came into power and we are, you know, I don't know, 3 weeks into this season so far, and we're obviously not connecting very well. So I'm going to put you into consideration, and maybe you use this opportunity as a, you know, 10-time challenge player or whatever the hell number Laurel's up to work a little bit of social game and say, look, I'm sorry that things have been this way, and not just be like, I'm going to sit here and pout and be quiet and, you know, be mad at you. Like, what is this getting you? Where are you possibly expecting to go with Michelle in this conversation where, like, you are not going to come out of this as the number one, you know, the name that's going to be thrown in? I don't understand what Laurel was trying to do here.
It's just not that surprising to me. From what I've heard, it does seem like it wasn't just like baseless speculation. I don't think Laurel was talking that highly of Michelle in the house, it seems. And so I don't think Michelle's reads were super far off, but Laurel basically doesn't have an answer for her. And this is why, like, especially when she was like, oh, like Turbo plays this intimidation game. It's like, isn't that not what you're doing?
What are you doing, girl? Like,
yeah. Like, is that not what you're doing? So I don't know. I feel like she is just trying to like stare at Michelle until she melts into the ground. And then it's like, oh, well, Michelle and Jay are disqualified. So now no one's going into elimination.
Maybe.
But I don't know. It's just, again, like the self-importance of the vets teams. It's like, well, I should not have to lower myself to like beg you rookies. So it's just like, well, then guess what, you can go into elimination.
It's so wild. Like, when Michelle comes to her later and is like, so you said that I should have had a conversation with you, and I want to do that. You know, I want to have a conversation with you and see if there's anything that we can do in this game going forward. And Laurel's frustrated, being like, well, no, I meant like we should have done this earlier. Like, what do you want me to tell you now? Like, you want me to tell you what to do and tell you, like, yes, tell her what to do. Tell her what other team to pick.
When she's like, you're asking me where I'm at. I am sitting on my bed in the bedroom. Like, okay, obviously that's not what she's asking.
Oh,
you know what she's asking. Shut up. Like, shut up and just answer the question.
I'm like, you don't like her. Fine. You don't want to play the game with her going forward. Fine. But get yourself out of the position of being the guaranteed team going into elimination this round. What is that doing for you? I don't understand. I mean, I don't know if Laurel is just maybe, you know, like, I can't even understand. Like, you know, I don't know. Is she not in the headspace? Does she not want to be here or something like that? Is there more going on than we're seeing? Because it's just, you know, for somebody who has played this game so many times to just sit there and stare and be quiet. I mean, look, we all want to sit there and stare at Michelle Fitzgerald, but like when it comes down to it and you need to make these decisions and you need to be, you know, getting yourself out of a position where you are going to be the one that goes in, stop with the cold shoulder and whatever this intimidation game is, because Michelle's getting, you know, frustrated even more. Like, all right, I'm wasting my time here. I'm trying to talk to you. I came to you. I came to your room. I came to your bed to try to figure this out, and you're completely icing me out. So you are going to be going in, and, you know, if you come back and you want to, you know, as we're going to see, they are going to come back, and we'll see next week how this all plays out. But it's just, you know, it's worth a shot in, you know, Anissa or Laurel, like trying to make yourselves not be the obvious pick to go in. They still have the power.
Mm-hmm. And also, though, for me, I'm kind of like, you know what, if you're so above it all and don't want to beg and don't want to play the game, then just say that. Say, like, I'm not interested in having a further conversation. Like, I think it probably guarantees you're going in, but you're not doing any work to keep yourself out of there anyway. So just, like, if you're resigned to it, tell them you're resigned to it.
Yeah. At least we have one half of the team that is working, you know, their social game a bit. And of course that being Jack, who's going to talk to Jay about it and be like, look, I'm holding, you know, he says to us, I'm holding my emotions in. I want to, you know, talk to Jay and, you know, see if there's a way that I can kind of gently nudge him into say, like, you know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't put us in, like, you know, obviously I'm on your side and, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for Laurel, but I can speak for myself. And, you know, we will not be coming after you guys, and we should fix this before it gets too late. So at least, you know, again, one half of that. I mean, and then it's very funny the way that he goes back to Laurel being like, yeah, fuck that, like I of course would never forget this, but he's playing it well to him, to Jay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think it was super believable, especially now that we know how things played out once at the elimination, and words that were thrown around. But I again, like you said, it's an effort.
It's more than Laurel did. Mm-hmm. I, of course, I think both of us probably loved the pettiness that came through in Jack there, saying he's never gotten over anything that anyone's ever done to him. He does not forget. He's, you know, and he goes back to, you know, talking about how it's not easy for him to make friends, so it hurts getting betrayed, and, you know, who can't relate to that? So, I don't know. I'm glad again that Jack was trying, and this is his first season, so this means a lot more to him than I'm fully making an assumption here, but I feel like this means a lot more to him to you know, try his hand at the game and try to do well for the both of them than maybe it does for Laurel, who, you know, knows she's getting the call next season anyway. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting because I feel like, yes, on one hand, but then also, like, this isn't necessarily Jack's life. I guess Jack has done at least one other reality show, I believe, multiple. So I would not be surprised if Jack is looking to make a you know, career of this. But for Laurel, I feel like Laurel kind of did come in here with a pretty embarrassing final exit. So I think that this season probably meant more to Laurel than any random season does to many of the vets.
Maybe she wanted to go into this elimination. Maybe she knew that the most likely result, there was a 33% chance of, or there was a 66% chance of Kim and Colleen going in, and they were like, well, we can beat them, and I'm going to redeem myself.
Yeah, there we go. Was, you know, watching it thinking like, well, if Laurel does have another early exit, how wild would that be? But was not to be.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to see if I have anything else before the elimination. Just a funny note of Veronica being excited that somebody called her low maintenance. Of course, that being Darrell. But otherwise, not much else.
Yeah, no. Ready for the elimination.
The elimination, which is going to be called Give Me Some Slack. And we are going to see that the teams that are going to be competing are Jay and Michelle's pick of Laurel and Jack. No surprise, right, that they're the ones that get thrown in. And this is where Jack throws some words around, like you mentioned.
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, when Laurel makes zero effort, it's kind of like interesting that it's not surprising. Do you think there's anything to where Michelle does talk about, like, oh, Nani, how could you throw me in despite having, like, this relationship with me? But then, like, oh, Jay's friends? No, we're not saving them based on that relationship. We're targeting who I want to target.
Not necessarily, because these two, Jay and Jack, met each other like 3 weeks ago.
Agreed.
So, yeah. Nani and Michelle have known each other for at least 3 months. Like,
at least.
Like, let's be serious. But no, obviously.
Given how long the challenge filming is, I would not be surprised if Jay and Jack had a connected 3 months before this as well.
That's true. So we get to, you know, we're going to pull some swords out and see who's safe and who's not. Veronica and Darrell are going to be the ones who draw the safe dagger. They are the third team to go. So we haven't seen a whole lot of, you know, like it's always interesting, like the Survivor, when this happens on Survivor, and I forget what it's called, but you can chime in with that if you know, because I'm sure you do. when you're down to, you know, the you have one that already gets taken off the table and you get down to the final two, and then should I take that one or should I change my mind at the last moment? So I'm like curious to see if people are changing their mind, because all we see is them pulling the sword out. But yeah.
Oh, the Monty Hall problem. I don't think that's applicable here, because you still only get one choice. You don't get the chance to change what choice you already had.
So it would only apply if it was like the first team.
It would be like if, you know, let's say who were the first to draw here. Well, here we'll explain the Monty Hall problem for the first time on a reality TV podcast. But like if Kim and Colleen were like,
well, because I didn't get it right.
If they were like, we want the left one, and then TJ was like, well, what if I reveal that the right one is not the correct choice? Do you want to change to the middle or do you want to keep the left? So it's about having your options narrowed down for you before you choose. When you are all picking just one out of three, the odds stay the same.
Okay. Well, then forget all that. But either way, Veronica and Darrell do end up being safe here, and they have a decision to make. And, you know, did you think there was a chance that they were going to save the other team that is in the same position as them, Kim and Colleen, who have been thrown in week after week here? Did you think it made sense for them?
As leading into the elimination, I tried to will it into existence, and let myself live in that fantasy for, you know, a good little bit. But as we are drawing daggers, I did not believe that it was going to come.
Yeah, and especially when Veronica gives her little speech before being like, mm-hmm. Well, I was looking for some extra assurance from Anissa today, and I just didn't get it. And Anissa's, you know, heart drops to her butt, and Jordan has a confessional being like, are we really doing this? You know, so I'm like, oh, wow. And then it cuts to a commercial, and it's like, oh, no, we're not doing this.
I feel like we got those confessionals like four times in this episode where it was like, wow, are Jordan and Anissa really about to overtake Jay and Michelle to win the challenge? Like, no, they're not. Like, stop doing that same exact confessional over and over and over.
Yet it works.
It does not. We got it in the elimination. And I was like, well, now I know who wins the elimination.
Right. So they save Jordan and Anissa, which, I mean, at the end of the day, I get it. It makes sense. Why would you not save somebody you've known for, you know, two decades, you know, regardless of, you know, Kim and Colleen are in the same position as us. We can make an ally with them. It's like, okay, Jordan and Anissa could win next week, and they probably won't put us in, or they hopefully won't put us in, because we have way more knowledge of what they would do, or, you know, our connection means something. When you think about it even deeply, it's like they were never considering Kim and Colleen.
It's just so like, even if Anissa and Jordan were going to win next week and put Veronica and Darrell in, like, I just don't think there was any world. It makes no sense. Like, what are Kim and Colleen really going to do for them in the long run? And it's just like, it's not worth it after Anissa and Veronica are like finally in a pretty good place, after I don't think that was always the case. I don't think that it's worth like rocking the boat that aggressively.
And then they get up, you know, to go watch the elimination, and he's just like, oh, maybe I should have said like something more to you. And Veronica's like, it's fine. I was just going for good TV, essentially. The elimination, it sounds like you had some issues with it.
It was fine, actually, I thought. In terms of like an actual, I have an issue with the confessional surrounding it. But in terms of the elimination itself, I like that it was facing away from all of the challengers, so they could not weigh in. I was very, very happy with that detail. Yes. So that in particular, I was very excited about. I like that both people did have a role here. It wasn't just like one person could carry the team so handily. I thought that this was pretty decent.
Yeah. I watched it early this morning, and all I saw was like colors, and I'm like, I can't wait to rewatch this later and see what just happened. Cause all I'm seeing is like Laurel yelling, and I'm paying attention to them. And, I truly love, like, you know how they, people say like, you know, there's things out there for everybody in whatever sense you want to take, that kind of thing. I just love that, like, like, I guess from a friendship standpoint, that like Jack's thing with Laurel is, I love when you yell. I love when you're screaming. Like, I love it. That's how I know what you want. Like, that's what Laurel needs in a friend, somebody who loves her yelling.
Wow, there really is someone out there for everyone. Like,
I don't know. I was just like, I've never heard anyone say this before. I mean, Laurel's had so many friends and enemies and whatever on all these shows, but she really found her ride or die, because he's sitting here being like, when you yell, I know what I need to do.
One of your worst personality traits. It's my favorite.
It was great. And obviously it worked for them, because they end up pulling out the win. It was close. TJ talks about how Kim and Colleen were only one, whatever off from getting it right.
So my only question I have surrounding this, mm-hmm. were Kim and Colleen allowed to speak in German during this? Because I feel like a curious choice to go with your second or third language in English, but was that a requirement of we're on an English TV show, you're going to speak English so that it is understandable here? Because that's a pretty big disadvantage if they're not allowed to speak in the language that they so choose. I feel like how many times did we even see like on the first challenge of the season where it's like, math problems, then there was like a word that they had not known in English. So I think that seeing them only speak in English did raise a question mark for me.
That is a great question. I had not considered it at all, and I would love to know. I would love to know enough to the point that, like, I would look at both of their Twitters, and if they hadn't answered that, I may even be the one to tweet it at them.
There you go.
That's very worthwhile, to know for, I mean, you're going to cast international rookies. You're casting two people from Germany that like exactly, they're English is not their first language. And in order to give them the best shot in a challenge all about communication, I would hope that they were allowed to speak German, but I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. And maybe they did at some points and it was just like edited around, but I don't remember seeing any of it. And I feel like that would probably be a lot quicker. I really did like Kim's strategy of going up and getting all of the pieces so that they didn't have to constantly, go back and forth. I wonder if that was yelled from the peanut gallery to tell Laurel and Jack to go ahead and do as well. Yeah. But I thought like immediately like, wow, really innovative, super good strategy there. Where I thought that like, okay, maybe they do stand a chance. And if they were required to only speak in English, I don't know exactly how comfortable they are with it or uncomfortable, but it seems like that would probably be a disadvantage in general.
Yeah. I would love to, again, I would love to know. Maybe we'll know by next week if we can figure that out or see any of the, if anybody asks them or anything like that online. I don't know. It is sad to, it's not like devastating to lose a rookie team, for me most of the times, but, I don't know. I thought that they were both, as TJ says, well-liked enough. And I thought Kim's confessionals were pretty fun. I thought Colleen was very sweet. I mean, I didn't need to see more of the Fessel and Colleen love story, so I'm not, like, devastated that that's coming to an end. But I don't know. They were perfectly fine additions, and this is, probably even farther than I would have expected them to get. So, good on them.
They seemed very nice.
Exactly.
I think it's very unlikely we see them again.
Oh yeah, I mean, like Kim, you can put it like a 0.01% chance of returning. Colleen, due to the storyline with Fessel, maybe like a 1% chance.
Yeah, less likely than anyone off the show other than Emmy, I would say at this point.
Probably.
Yeah, I think every other person is more likely to return.
Yeah. No, Tamara.
I just feel like there is some world in which they bring back that duo, but I think that that's the only other person in argument for me.
I mean, look, we kind of did this last week. Looking at the people that have been eliminated so far, still probably have Tommy and Annalise at the top of the list. Johnny being there with them as the third.
Yeah, I think I have Johnny number one. But yeah, I don't even know. Johnny, are we doing Nom? Are we going for Nom 4.0?
No. Give it up.
Let's go. Get it trending. Nom 4.0.
Give it up.
But apparently he was just on some Netflix show, so he's still booked.
Okay, was he on the show or was he like, on the cast and didn't make it on the show? Like,
all right. You and every top comment on Reddit.
Also, just to throw this out there on the Challenge podcast that I co-host, I spent the last 3 days with a guy who looked just like Devin. Like that was like one of the main guys that I was like working with or dealing with or whatever in the past couple of days. And anytime I close my eyes to like think of what he looked like, I think of Devin. So
how many times are you closing your eyes to think of what he looked like?
No, of the guy that I was with.
Yeah.
Well, a couple, because I can't, I'm trying, because I was having such a hard time differentiating him and Devin.
Okay.
Because, well, okay, maybe I'm not closing my eyes, you Mr. you know, serious, whatever, literal. But I was trying to, like, you know, because, whatever, I'm done with this conversation.
It's fine.
But Devin is a lookalike out there, and so do I, and I might have met him. But uh-oh, that is my story, and that is my thoughts and my everything I have here for the week. I'm really fumbling through this episode, but it's all right. Glad that you were able to make it back for this one. I didn't say at the top, but thank you to Jonathan Foreman for stepping in last week. And yeah, we're back in action. The season's maybe almost close to the halfway point, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thanks to Jofo for stepping in. It was a ton of fun to finally get to listen to one of these for once. But no, I said at the top I was jealous that Jofo got to talk about that episode. But and even though I didn't love this episode and watching, I thought it was a bunch of fun to actually get to break down.
Yeah. So that's it. Ride or Dies, episode 5 in the books. And we'll see what happens next with... some more drama coming up, a Bananas and Nani blow up potentially coming up. And, you know, the Laurel and Michelle situation certainly is not resolved as Laurel is back in the house. So plenty more to come.
Yep, yep.
Anything else going on in the world of Brian Scally on podcast these days?
Yes, I was lucky enough to guest over on The Lonely Boys, season 3, episode 8. Was able to sneak in for a season 3 episode, trying to beat you to being the first 4-time guest. We'll see how that goes. We'll see.
Are you on another season 3 episode?
Not yet.
I believe we'll scheduled for one more season 3 episode.
Ew. Well, as the locked in sub, we'll see if someone gets sick there before right. then. Well. But otherwise, no. So very happy to talk about that over on the Lonely Boys podcast. And then anything else I am doing will be over on the dying social media app Twitter at @Brian_Scally.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter too, at Matt Ligori, currently not verified, currently struggling with that decision because all my friends are going to hate me if I do it.
Do it.
It's a gag. It's just like, I would do it just to see the check mark next to my name for 5 minutes and then I wouldn't pay for a second month. but like the shame that I feel anytime I bring it, the idea up to anybody, they're like, why would you do that? I'm like, it's just, I don't know.
We'll just see how long that feature even exists for at this
point. I know,
point.
That's true. You know, people will finish out their $8 this month and I don't know. That's that. That is everything going on for this week. So thank you guys for checking this one out. We'll be back next week. But until then, take care, everybody.